had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put the Spirit, His Spirit, on them." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize Moses' frustration. We recognize that you want to pour out your Holy Spirit on all who are willing to surrender and receive what you have for them. And Lord, we thank you today on this day of Pentecost as we wait with great expectation to pray over Randall and Angela and to see what you're going to do in their lives as you release your Holy Spirit that you have given to them in baptism into their whole life, that they may walk with your power and receive your gifts and use your gifts to your glory. Lord Jesus, we pray that in the midst of your people, there would no longer be Moses or people like Moses saying, "I wish, I desire." But we would be like Peter, who was able to say, "No, what Joel prophesied has come true. The Spirit of the living God has been given to all who believe. It is no longer for a select few, but for each and every one who receives." Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for your mighty living word. Thank you for your promise that wherever two or more are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst of them. Thank you for being enthroned upon the praises of your people. And thank you for fulfilling your prophecy. Lord, may we receive now your word. And may it have an impact on our lives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Poor Moses. He has been faithful. He has done what the Lord has asked of him. He went back to Egypt. He stood before Pharaoh. He spoke the word of God to one of the most powerful men in the world and said, "Let my people go." He saw God's power. He saw his miracles. He saw the plagues that he inflicted on the Egyptians. He led those people out into the desert. He led them to the Red Sea. And there, up against the sea, he followed the Lord's instruction. And he saw the sea part so that his people could walk across on dry ground. Poor Moses. I don't know, I think he's having a pretty good life up to this point. I think it must be amazing to see all these things that God is doing, how he's faithful to his word. But Moses has always been reluctant. You never noticed? Have you read Exodus? You remember? He's always been reluctant. "I can't speak." So then God sends Aaron. "I can't do this." So God shows him his power. Over and over and over again, God shows him his power, his might, his glory, his promise. I think there's a little bit of Moses in all of us, right? Yeah, we've seen his power. I know the power of his healing in my life. I mean, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the Lord's gift of healing. We've all experienced God's power in our lives. We've experienced him keeping his promises. And yet we can be like Moses. Moses gets out to Mount Sinai, goes up and receives from the Lord his commandments, comes down, and there's a golden calf. Do you remember what he did with the tablets that God had given him with the commandments on it? When he figured out that just over that period of time he'd been up on Mount Sinai, that the people had already abandoned all the things that he had taught them and gone back to the golden calf, what did he do with them? He broke them. It's funny because Moses gets frustrated and upset, but then he turns around and he pleads on behalf of the people. Have you ever noticed that? On one hand, he's saying he's angry and upset, as he rightly should be, as God was. But on the other hand, he says, Lord, stop! Don't destroy your people. Because then everybody's going to say, you brought them out into the desert to what? To kill them. And I find this fascinating because now we're in a ways into the story of the Exodus in Numbers chapter 11. And what we see is the people complaining about manna. It's kind of funny because in Jesus' ministry, they were kind of looking for manna. Remember when he fed the 5,000? They kind of followed after him, hoping that he would continue to do that. And he looked at them and said, you know, you're just like your ancestors. They wanted manna, but then what did they immediately do when all they had was manna? Day after day after day and double on Fridays. And day after day and double on Fridays, right? What did they do? Yuck! We're tired of this. We want meat to eat. Remember the meat we had in Egypt? Hard to imagine complaining in the church, right? Some things never change. You know why? For those of you who are surprised by this, because the church is made up of people. And guess who the people of Israel were? They were people. Funny thing. And for that reason, there was complaining going on amongst the people. And this text that we have here in Numbers 11 comes between a discussion with God, Moses, and what God does to resolve the problem. And at the beginning of chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, you'll see that the issue is they want meat to eat. And they're complaining about God's provision of manna. They want more. They want better. And their hindsight vision is a little bit delusional, and they think that they had more and better back there. Have you ever noticed that? It's always better back there. No? I don't know. I've only been in the United States for 5 years, and yet I continue to hear how much better it was back there. So, anyway. And Moses gets a little frustrated with the whole thing. And just before our text today, he says, did I give birth to these people? Why am I responsible for these people? And I love this because the Lord says, I'm going to give them meat. I'm going to give them so much meat that's going to be coming out of their nostrils. I'm not kidding you. This is what God says. Now, who says God didn't have a sense of humor? I mean, literally, he says it's going to be coming up. They're going to be so full of this meat that I'm going to give them. I'm going to give them quail. They're going to be so full of quail. And Moses going, yeah, right, quail. And in the midst of that, this is what God does. He says, Moses, you need some support. You need some people to come alongside of you and support you because obviously you're frustrated. Obviously you're discouraged. And that's why what's happening here today and during this confirmation service is so powerful. Because today we're going to lay hands on Randall and Angela and we're going to pray that as they become part of this church family, that we will stand beside them and we will encourage them and we will help them and we will continue to see them grow as they have it by the faithfulness of their families and those around them, that they have grown to this point, and we are going to encourage them, stand beside them, love on them, and help them to grow to be whom God wants them to be, to use the gifts that God has given to them, because they are many. And so God says to Moses, you bring me 70 elders, and you bring them to meet me. And I will take some of the spirit that I have given to you, and I will put it on them. And they will be helpers for you. They will stand beside you. They will be there with you. They will stand with you. They will help you. It's interesting because God gives them his Holy Spirit. And it's amazing because God is so faithful to his promise that two of the guys that Moses picked didn't show up, remember? I think they were just running on Michigan time and they were late. That's personally my opinion. But it doesn't matter. It's not just Michigan time, North American time, European time. Anyways, yeah. But they were late. Maldad and Edad, Eldad, right? They weren't there. If the Lord was so faithful to his promise, what happened when he took from the Holy Spirit that he had given to Moses and he put it on the elders? They weren't even in the presence of the Lord there. They were in the camp getting ready. And what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, it's interesting because Joshua, who's Moses' right-hand man, he hears from the messengers that they're prophesying in the camp. And what does he do? He says, we had a resolution at the last convention that said, stop them! They're not doing it in good order. They didn't come to church. They didn't have to sit through the long sermon. And they still got the benefit. That's not right!
It's a paraphrase, okay?
Taking liberty here. But isn't that what he says? He says, stop them! And Moses does something that is amazing. And you can see it throughout the Old Testament from those who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those are kings, prophets, priests, the builders of the temple. I think when they recognized what they had out of their love for the Lord and their love for the people, they all said kind of the same thing. Moses says, are you jealous for my sake? I wish everyone, every person would have the Holy Spirit. Every person would prophesy. Isn't that what he said? Just like Joel in chapter 2 where he said, in the last day, all your sons and daughters will prophesy. All the people will receive the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, it saddens me when I see a church that seems to be limping along logically understanding that the Holy Spirit is here, but not living by the power of the Holy Spirit, not expecting the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that the Lord, through the power of His Holy Spirit, wants to give. There was these two Hittites named Oli and Sven. They lived in this place called Minnesota, way out in the forest, the foreign land. I can say this because Chuck isn't here. And every Sunday, they would get dressed up in their Sunday going to meeting clothes, and they would get on their bikes, and they would ride into church. And that was a big deal, because they lived way out. And they would go to church, and one day they went to church, and this young lady named Olga came to Ollie and said, Ollie, you've got to get yourself a moped. It would make it so much easier for you to come to church. So Ollie thought, okay, I'm going to get myself one of those mopeds. So he went to the store, and he bought himself a moped. The next Sunday, Ollie and Sven, they get up, they get ready, and they start to go to church. Now Sven, he makes it there in the regular amount of time, and about 30 minutes later, here comes Ollie. And Ollie is just one big, huge mess of sweat and dirt and dust. And he comes to the church and he walks over to Olga and he says, why did I have to get a moped? And she's all confused. She looks at him and she says, it's way better. And he's just disgusted. And so she walks out and she goes to his moped. And she looks and she turns on the switch. And she pulls the lever. And it goes, vroom! And he looks at her and he says, what's that noise? There's a lot of Christians today that think they got a moped, but there's no power. And I'll tell you something, as one who's experienced this, they're not that easy to pedal. You see, so for so many Christians, it sounds like this is such a heavy load. This is such a tremendous burden. This is such a difficult task. It is so hard. And I get it. I get it. I've been where Moses was. I understand his frustration. But his cry, his desire, his wish that all would prophesy and that all would receive the Holy Spirit, it's been completed. It's been fulfilled. The power is here. We're on this side of Pentecost. And I'll tell you, the Lord wants desperately to give us the power. Do you believe me? And I'm not just talking theologically. I'm talking about reality. He wants to pour out his power on his people. He wants to manifest his power, his healing, his gifts upon his people right now, today, this minute, this hour, right now. And yet there's something that's complicated about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to end with this. There was a book written a long time ago. By a long time ago, I mean the 70s. A long time ago, right? And it was called The Holy Spirit, the Shy Member of the Trinity. In this book, I remember reading it in Bible school, and in this book, it talks about how the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman, and he will not, and I repeat, will not force himself upon anyone. He is simply waiting for us to open the door. He's simply waiting for us to surrender and ask. He's simply waiting for us to let him show us what he wants to do in our lives. He is not going to force himself upon us. He's not going to make us robots. He is not going to say, you do this, you do that. He wants us to desire what he has for us, right? He wants Angela today and Randall today do what Jesus said. If you confess me before men, I will confess you or acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. He wants us to be open to receive what he has for us. And I plead with you today, as Moses pled with Joshua, and as Joel prophesied, and as Peter pled with the people on Pentecost, be open, be willing, because the Lord wants to pour out his Spirit. He is pouring out his Spirit, and he wants to do even greater things. You know, he told his disciples that they would do even greater things than he did. And I think Jesus did some pretty amazing things, don't you? That's what his promise was. He said to them, he looked them right in the eye and said, you will do even greater things than I've done. Remember, he raised people from the dead. He cleansed the leper. He healed the blind and the lame. He fed 5,000, including women and children. He did it all. He says, by my power, when I am glorified and you receive that living water that will flow out of you, which is our gospel lesson, that will flow out of you, you will do even greater things than these. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. And I have an expectation it's going to happen, because I believe that as the world continues to go down the road it's going, the Lord wants to manifest more and more of his power so that people are aware. Because the end of the story, after this text from Numbers, the end of the story is that Moses' prayer was answered, and they received so much quail that they couldn't eat it all. That's the end of the story. And I know I don't even know what quail tastes like, so I'm not going to pray for that to happen here, but I want to see even more than we can even imagine, even more than we can even anticipate, even more than we can expect. That's my prayer for today, for Angela, and for Randall, and for each one of us, that the Lord would pour his Holy Spirit so much that we would receive even more than we can imagine or conceive of. Wouldn't that be awesome? Isn't that the God that we serve? Isn't he more than capable of doing what he promises? Amen? May it be so among us. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us such mighty promises. And Lord, we thank you that even when we grow frustrated, as Moses did, even as we grow faint through the burdens and the trials of life, Lord, it is your mighty promise that you will indeed pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. You invite us to open our hands with expectation to receive what you have for us. You breathed upon us your Holy Spirit in our baptism. You have given us the Holy Spirit. Now we ask, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit would pour out and would flow out through every part of our being, and that we would be led by your power, that we would be led by your Spirit, that we would be led to do what you want us to do with your strength and in your mighty power. Lord Jesus, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and let us experience all of you and even more. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.